When my brother and I were going through high school, we spent a summer. We had a friend of ours. His name was Frank Clayton. And Frank was had been sent to Kentucky to start his residency for his medical practice. And he invited my brother and I to come out to Kentucky with him and stay in the old farmhouse that he grew up in with his grandma and grandpa. And so my brother and I packed up in my old white Plymouth and put some new tires on it, and we drove to Kentucky with Frank. And I was a junior, and my brother was a freshman that year. And so here we are driving out to Kentucky, made numerous stops along the way. Frank was a birder. He liked to look at birds. And we go diving off the road occasionally if he'd see some bird he'd never seen so he could mark his book off. Anyway, it was an adventurous drive out there. But when we got out to Kentucky, we discovered that the farmhouse had been built in the 1890s. It had been wired for electricity. But when it came to getting water, you had to go out to the well, and you literally had to drop a bucket down a well, probably 30 or 40 feet. It would drop into the water, and then you would pull it up on the rope, and that was our water source. The farm had about 60 acres. There was a creek down at the bottom. They grew soybeans and corn, and there was a pond full of catfish, and it was a lot of fun that summer. And my brother and I's job was just to help out around the farm. We'd bring in the hay. We do various odd jobs. We did put some drywall up in the upstairs and various things like that. Well, Grandma and Grandpa Clayton figured, hey, you know, it's the 1970s. We should have an electric well. We're tired of pulling that rope up and getting the water the manual way. Let's get a well. By the way, when you drop that bucket down, the bucket was actually about this big around, and it was about that long. And it would hit the water, you'd hear it splash, and when you pulled it, a little flap on the bottom would close, you see? And then you'd pull it back up, and it would be full of water. So it was kind of a nifty device. But they wanted an electric well like everybody else in the neighborhood. They were probably the last ones around there to get electricity and the last ones to get an electric well. So in Kentucky, when you want a well, does anybody know who you call to figure out where to put the well? Anybody grow up back there? Yeah, yeah. They called the water witch. Now, water witch is their neighbor. Now, he came out in some coveralls and some work boots, and he was wearing a plaid shirt, and he looked just like anybody else. He went over to the peach tree, and he cut off a branch that was forked like this. And so my brother and I were just very curious about that. So we went over to the peach tree with our knives, and we cut branches off too. And he'd walk over here with his branch like this, and so we'd walk right behind him with our branches like this. We were going to see, how does all this work? And he'd walk over here and over here, and sure enough, his branch, the tip of it, bent down. And we realized that with just a little twist of our wrist, we could make the tip bout go down just like his. And we're thinking, oh, this sounds a little fishy, what this guy's up to. But he charged $120. So my brother would spit on the ground, and I'd walk over there, and I'd make my branch bout, and he'd say, hey, I want to pay me $120. Drill right here. There's water down there. Well, they drilled a hole over 200 feet deep, and they found no water. So they got the guy back out again. He picked another spot. When we left that summer, that hole was almost 300 feet deep, and there was no water. And my brother and I could never figure out why they didn't just go over to the old side of the old well, because there was water at 35 feet. But they didn't. So we felt like it was a hoax from the beginning. And my brother and I still laugh about that. And we still, occasionally when we get together, we'll cut a branch off and make it work just like that guy. But when it comes to our spiritual lives, we just read a text that Jesus said to the woman at the well. Whoever drinks of this water shall never thirst again. And when it comes to our spiritual lives, Jesus says he's the source, doesn't he? If you decide to look anywhere else but Jesus in your spiritual life, you're going to be digging a dry hole, just like the dry holes that were dug after that man came out and located them for us. Let's read that text again. Whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. He was speaking of the water in the well. But whoever drinks of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall be a well of living water within him, springing up to eternal life. Okay? So Jesus compares the water that he gives us to a well of water springing up within us to eternal life. Let's read another text. That text, this text is a couple chapters over. This is in John chapter 7, verse 38. This is another reference that Jesus makes to water, stating how the water, talking about water that he gives us. John 7:38 uses this analogy. He says, "He that believes in me, out of him shall flow," what? "Rivers of living water." Okay. So we have one analogy where he's saying we're a well, right? And another one where we're rivers. So who's the source here? What does the text say? "The waters that I shall give him shall be in him." Okay? Right? Jesus is clearly the source here. So when we are connected to him, we have that well of water springing up within us to eternal life. Okay? So a well and a river, right? Is there a couple things he uses to talk about that? Okay, so what is this living water then? Any thoughts on that? Anybody? What's he talking about here? If you read those texts, he really doesn't define it to the lady, does he? His what? His spirit. Okay? His spirit. Okay? Any other thoughts? What are some things that Jesus gives us that spring up within us for the purpose of eternal life? Or, if you read the other texts, that flow out of us as rivers of living water. Any thoughts on that? His spirit, yes. Barbara touched on a really important piece there. Anything else you can think of? Salvation, yes. That's something he gives us. Grace, forgiveness, right? Related to salvation, yes. Love. Ooh, the fruits of the Spirit, right? Right? Love, joy, peace, right? I'm going to read those off to us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. You see, these all flow out of us. The Lord gives them to us. They flow out of us as living water, his living water, to all those around us. Gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against things, such things there is no law. Is there something else the Spirit gives us? How about spiritual gifts? Huh? Right? Think about it. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, right? All the unique pieces of the body that we are. Those are what? Gifts of the Spirit. Okay? And those gifts of the Spirit, what do? They bless everyone around us when they're given back to him for his use. Right? So here's the living water. The Spirit, the spiritual gifts, the fruits of the Spirit, the gift of eternal life. And the Lord also gives us very tangible things, doesn't he? He provides for us in many ways. He gives us shelter. He gives us food. He gives us numerous blessings. Okay. So who's the source? Jesus is the source. And then what is the living water? Well, we've talked about numerous things of his blessings that are the living water that flows out of us. Okay? Okay, well, let's talk a little bit more about these two texts here. How much water do rivers keep in them? They don't keep any of it, do they? No. They let it go and they keep getting a new supply, right? Jesus didn't say, "He that believes in me shall become a storehouse of God's blessings." Did he say that? No. He said, "He that believes in me shall, out of him shall flow everything he or she receives." Interesting, isn't it? Wells, if they're good wells, right, distribute water to the whole city. They keep giving and giving and giving and giving, and they're tapped into the source, right? Rivers do the same thing. They keep giving and giving and giving. They're tapped into the source. Now, if they're not tapped into the source, they have nothing to give, right? It dries out pretty quickly, or it's sporadic. But if they're tapped into the source, it's a never-ending supply, okay? It's relentless. What happens in a river when it hits an obstacle? Yeah, goes over it, goes around it, builds up behind it, pushes it out of the way. It's relentless. God's blessings are relentless when we're connected to the source. Natural tendency that we have when we get God's blessings is we want to hang on to them, use them for our own purposes. And that's clearly not God's plan. He gives us everything so that we can give everything away. Otherwise, Jesus would have said, "The one who believes in me shall become a lake of living water." Right? A big basin that where all of his blessings sit. Lakes don't, the water in a lake pretty much sits there. A little bit goes out the back end, doesn't it? But not very much. You see, the blessings God gives us, the blessing to us comes in giving them away immediately. Okay? So if you want blessings, don't try to hang on to what God gives you. Become a conduit or a river that where it flows through to others. Your blessing comes in being connected to the source and giving it away. Your blessing doesn't consist of hanging on, you see, to what God gives you. That's why he called it a river or a well. Okay, we're going to look at a couple slides here that Derek put together for us here. Okay. Oh, the sun just got covered up. Okay. Oh, my goodness. And look at the little tap over there on the left. Okay, watch this. Oh, okay. Okay, here's how we look sometimes, right? We think that by hanging on to what God's giving us, we are blessed. How much blessing is in this picture? You just see a few drops slipping out the back of the lake, right? It's pretty measly and it's sporadic. It kind of looks like the flowers on my front porch, and they've been eaten up by the bugs, and they don't look very good. And you see all kinds of things that happen that are bad for you and bad for everybody around you when you try to hang on to God's blessings. You start thinking you're better than other people. You start comparing yourself to other people. You become critical, judgmental, all of these things. And what is that stops God's blessings from flowing out of you to others? Self-centeredness. Okay, so let's look at the next slide. Okay, sun shining again. Oh my goodness, there goes the dam. Okay. How many blessings are there here now? Okay. You see what's happening here? God's blessings are coming in and they're flowing right out. So what's the difference? What happened between the first slide and this slide? Let's go back to the first slide, which is the next one. Okay. The difference is that self-centeredness is gone, isn't it? Okay. That's what blocks the flow of God's blessings through us to others. And that's what the Lord does in your life and mine when we invite him in. He starts pulling out stone by stone, by stone, by stone, by stone of that self-centeredness, doesn't he? And you open your heart to him and you surrender your life to him and your will to him and you let him be your Lord. And next thing you know, those rocks start coming down, right? Okay, let's go to the next slide. And then, after a while, it doesn't happen overnight, more and more and more and more of God's blessings begin to flow through. So who's doing the blessing here? Are you doing it to other people? No. What have you done here that allows God's blessings to create all these benefits to everyone around you? What have you done? What? Yeah. Yeah, you've surrendered your heart to him, right? God's always knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I will commune with him. We're opening our hearts, you see, to him. That's what we did. And if you read the Bible, so God gets credit for the blessings, right? God gets credit for the stone removal, right? All that self-centeredness. Can we take credit for that? It's when his love comes into our hearts, right? It starts disappearing. That self, day by day, starts disappearing. And even the fact of opening our hearts, if you read the scriptures, you'll find that God even motivates that. Okay? So we can't take credit for anything. When we start stopping those that flow of blessings, we get in the way of what God wants to do. The blessings that we receive are from passing along what God gives us. They're not from hanging on to them. And the challenge then becomes, if you want God's blessings, how completely can you surrender your heart to Him and His love? That's the question. Because when you do that, He will begin to remove those stones of self that have gotten in the way. And you and everyone around you will be blessed for it. Okay, you can go to the next one. Has anybody here dug some of those dry holes? Spiritual dry holes. You dug and you dug and you worked and you worked and you worked and there's got to be water down here. 200 feet later, months later, nothing. Well, let's dig a hole over here. Dig and dig and dig and dig. Nothing, right? Yeah, I've done a few of those. I'm going to tell you about some dry holes, okay, that are easy traps here of the devil. He lays in our way. Here's a dry hole. Who's the source? Jesus is the source. One dry hole is to say that I'm the source, right? I deserve the credit. I'm the one. Maybe we convince ourselves that we somehow earned or deserved the special gifts that God gave us. Did we earn it? Did we earn the love God gives us? Did we earn the hope, the salvation, all the other gifts? No, we didn't. He gave them to us. Sometimes we think that we did it. We take the credit for what He gave us, right? And that's where all that arrogance and criticism, judgmentalism comes into our lives. We're trying to hang on to it, aren't we? Maybe it's ability to play sports well. Maybe it's an education. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's something you own. It can be all of these things. When we take credit for that and we say that we're the source of these things, then all of those other things start creeping in that we saw up there a minute ago. Carol and I were up at her folks' house last week for the holidays. And one day in the mail, a catalog came in. How many of you received catalogs around Christmas time from somewhere? Yeah. A whole bunch of them, right? REI, L.L. Bean, on and on and on and on, all trying to get you to buy something. Well, we had this one catalog we got that we were looking at around the kitchen table, and it was the Vermont Country Store, okay? And it was full of gadgets that you just had to have. All you need is one of those gadgets and a whole bunch of AAA batteries or AA batteries, and you could be happy. And all the people in the magazine or in the catalog were using the products, right? And they were all so happy. They had these smiles on their faces. Yes, you know, I have this foot massager, and it's just, oh, it's the best. So this one page we turned to had this lady with some sort of a headgear on. This headgear, with just four AAA batteries, it warmed your head, it massaged your head, and it played music. And you should have seen her face. I mean, talk about bliss. She had arrived, you know. If I didn't know better, I would think that maybe she found the source of living water, right? See, the devil wants to sell us another source, doesn't he? He always wants to sell us another source. But there's no other source than Jesus. So don't look anywhere else. Don't look in a car lot. Don't look at a video game. Don't try to find it at the Apple store, right? Or a clothing store. And don't go to a modern-day guru, right? There's only one source. Those are all dry holes. Yeah. Jesus says what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. Yeah. I'm the source of that living water. Okay, so there is a dry hole. I'm going to tell you about another one here. We talked about it a minute ago, and I'm going to give you an example here. This one comes in all kinds of devious forms, and I'm going to point out one of those forms of this particular one to you today that is kind of sneaky. I'm going to point it out in the life of the church, and you can find this in your personal life, you can find it in your work life, you can find it in your family life, but I'm just going to give you an example in church life. Well, I raised the money for the building project, so don't you think I should choose the carpet color? Or I fixed the heater all winter long. Week after week, I was out here fixing that heater. And I want to be a deacon. Don't you think I should get the job? I work harder than anyone around here. Well, I donated this new set of knives to the kitchens. Don't you think I should be able to tell everybody how to use them? Right? Do you see what's happening here? You're telling yourself you gave it away, but did you really give it away? No. You're expecting something in return, right? Whenever you give something away and you're expecting something in return, you didn't really give it away. It's more like a transaction, right? Yeah. It's not really passing along one of God's gifts. Yeah. If we find ourselves saying we've given something away and expecting something in return, we're acting more like a lake and not a river. Rivers don't ask for their water back if they don't get what they want, do they? Excuse me. I think I want to take some of that water back. No. So there's another dry hole. Hanging on to God's blessings. Wrong source, trying to hang on to God's blessings. Here's another one, too, that's kind of a sneaky one. Like the last one, this one looks really good on the surface. And it's full of good intentions. But from my study of the Bible, I don't see any biblical support for this one. And here's how it sounds. It's very easy as a Christian or as a church, okay, to say the following. God has given me or God has given us all of these blessings. Let's figure out a way to use them to help him out in saving some souls. Okay? You hear that one? Okay, and I'm going to give you lots of biblical references for this in a minute here. The Bible does not support the idea that we figure out how to glorify God with what he gives us. What the Bible does say over and over is that we should offer ourselves and everything God gives us and let him direct the use of it for his glory. Do you see the difference? Taking those talents, taking those blessings, God gave us those so he could direct them in his way to others. But we like to take them. And I'm going to give you some examples of some people in the Bible here who did it the right way and some people who did it the wrong way. One person who did it the wrong way, I'll give you one of those. There are numerous examples I can point out, but I'll just point out a few here. Okay, let's just take the example of the loaves and the fish, right? Here was a little boy who had 5 loaves and 2 fish. What did he do with those? They were his gifts. They were the blessings God had given him, weren't they? Uh-huh. In the midst of that big, big group there. And what did he do with those? He gave them back to Jesus, right? And what did Jesus do? He multiplied them and distributed them. Okay. So, here's an example. He gave the gifts. God gave him the gifts. He gave them back and said, how would you like to use it? Okay, what about the widow who gave those last couple of cents that she owned, right? And put it in the offering there. Who was she really giving that to? Jesus praised her for it. She was giving it to God, right? Yeah. And then he directed from that point, yeah, where it would go. Here's a text you can look up later on. We won't take the time to look up all of these texts. But how about John 8:28, right? You can read that text. In fact, let's just read that one together here. It's an especially good one. There are numerous references like this in the book of John. Okay, but let's just read this one. Some other ones I've written in the margin are John 12:48, John 4:34, and John 6:38. So those are some others. But let's just read this one. John chapter 8, verse 28. Look at the last part of that verse. Jesus says, I don't do anything on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father has taught me. Okay? And if you read all of the other references in John, you'll see over and over Jesus says, the Father tells me and leads me in the use of my time and what I say and what I do. You can read numerous references in John. One example of this is in Mark 2, chapter 2, verses 32 to 38. Okay? If you read the story, and we won't take the time here to read the story this morning, but if you read the story, what you see is you see Jesus praying all night. And he's been healing people late into the night before. So maybe it's midnight. And he's been healing people all day long and preaching. And now he's praying all night long. And the next morning the disciples are looking for him and saying, where have you been? We were looking for you. And the whole city has come out to see you. And they want to be healed. They want to be taught. They want to hear more of the good news. And where have you been? You're out here in the wilderness. You know, everybody wants to see you. They're all gathered in the center of town again. You remember what Jesus' response to them was? To his own disciples? He says, we're moving on to the next town. You can read it. We're not going back there. Were there sick people there? Yes. Were there people who were dying? Yes. Were there people who were hungry? Yes. Were there people who needed to hear the good news? Yes. Jesus' answer to his own disciples, we're moving on. Why? Because his Father told him in prayer that night, it's time to move. Okay? So he had the resources of healing and time and the good news. And what was he doing? His Father was directing him. Okay? His Father was directing him as to how to use those blessings and those gifts for his Father's glory. You see that? Yeah. Read it, Mark 2, 32 to 38. Romans 12, 1. I urge you therefore, brethren, right, to give your bodies as what? Living sacrifices, right, to God. This is your spiritual service of worship. Okay? So, giving back. What does the song say? Every blessing you pour out, I will turn back to praise, right? Right? So we give back to him. Yeah. The best thing you can do when God gives you blessings is never take ownership of them. Okay? Because if you take ownership of them, then somehow you think you're entitled to them, and then all of those other qualities start creeping up in your life that we saw in the lake. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And why would you want to take ownership of something if it's only there to be given away? It's much easier to recognize every gift as coming from him as one that will be passed on to others. Of course he provides for us, right? He gives us food, water, shelter, all the things we need. But he wants us to be that river of his living water to everyone around us. Not our living water, his living water. Hear the difference? Ours, we're taking ownership of it. His living water, it always belonged to him. He puts hope and love and peace and all the fruits of the Spirit in our lives to be what? To be passed along to others. He gives us special gifts and skills and talents to be what? Shared with others. So don't take ownership. Instead, dedicate all that you are and all that you have to him. Lord, these are your gifts. How do you want to direct them for your glory? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no grip. Otherwise, he has to pry it out of your hands, and he will. I've experienced that. So some dry holes. We've talked about some. Number one, who's the source? Jesus is the source, not us. Number two, do we hang on to these things? No, we can't hang on to them. They smell funny after a while. And then number three, let him direct the use of what he gives us. Yeah. Surrendering your heart to the Lord is the key element, as we saw, letting him remove those stones that get in the way of his blessings to others. It's a really simple idea, but it's really hard to do. Famous preacher named Oswald Chambers said this. He said, keep at the source. Focus on the source. Don't let your eyes off the source. Keep at the source, he says, guard well your belief in Jesus Christ and your relationship with him, and there will be a steady flow to other lives. There will be no dryness and no deadness. What does he say? Focus on what? The source. The source. That's the challenge you have. That's the challenge I have. What are some ways we get our eyes off the source? You can turn on the television. That's an easy way. There's just numerous ways, right? The devil pulls our eyes off of the Lord. My wife calls it weapons of mass distraction, right? And that's all he needs to do is distract you from who? The source, right? The one person who's the source. Yeah. And if you look in the bulletin, you'll notice that right here in the open flap, you're going to see what in the middle here? What does this say? In the center of that diagram there. This knowing God. Yeah. And that's because he's the center. He's the source. If we want living water, his living water flowing through us, then we stay focused on the source. So how focused are you on the source today? How's your relationship with him today? Are some things getting in the way? Are you letting him take out those stones of self-centeredness? I'm going to just tell a story a little bit, a very short story, about the Point Loma Church. I can tell you, having been part of the church for a long time, there was a point in time that I remember where the church and its leadership was trying to hang on to the blessings God had given us. And I'm speaking particularly in terms of the property, the church property here. And it went along the lines of, you know, let's work really hard. Let's give as much money as we can so we can get rid of all the tenants and we can have the place to ourselves. Okay? Interesting, huh? It sounds a little bit like being that lake, doesn't it? Yeah. But fortunately, the church turned the corner and began to ask that same question, right, that we asked a minute ago. Lord, we are your people. This is your property. How do you want to use it for your purposes? Huh? Remember that? Some of you may have been part of that experience. And that's when we as a church began to become a river of God's living water. Uh-huh. It's no different in your own life. So what do you have? What are the special gifts God's given you? What are the blessings he's given you? He's given us all, when we invite him into our hearts, he's given us all some love and joy and peace and hope and all of those good things. He's given us all spiritual gifts, right? Some of us are servants. Some of us are teachers. Some of us have a whole host of different things. Some of us are gifted in hospitality. So have you given it all back to him? Have you poured it back all out to him? Remember, when you give it back to him, like the loaves and fish, he multiplies it. If you walk around the church property today, you can see some direct results, some very tangible results of God's blessing. And I can tell you what, it's not blessing just us here at Point Loma. It's blessing a lot of people. I took my car down to get smogged a couple days ago. It was the 31st of December. Yeah, it was the 31st of December. And my registration expired on the 31st, so it was a good time to get my smog done. And so I went down to the smog shop down in downtown on G Street, and the lady and the man and the wife that owned that smog shop, they didn't know that I knew this about them, but I knew that they were members of the Calvary Chapel, the other church that uses this facility on Sundays. And I struck up a conversation with her after my smog was done, and we began talking, and she was going on and on and on how they were so grateful for the way God has blessed them with this facility. And I hear that from my friends at the YMCA, and I hear that from all kinds of people that use this property. Every day there's about 100 people that walk in and out, drive in and out of this property, and they have classes in the gym every day of the week. And then on weekends we have this congregation, and on Sundays we have another congregation. And starting in September of 2010, by God's grace and his leading and his timing, we'll have a preschool that uses the classrooms every day of the week. And if you look over here, the top of the lot is graded. That's because the YMCA next door is going to begin using the top of the lot for their summer camp programs. So God is working in amazing ways. Why? Because we didn't try to hang on to it. We gave it all back to Him. And what a blessing it's been for us, and what a blessing it's been for everyone else. So all you have to do is look around, open your eyes, go out, walk on the in the courtyard today, and see God's blessings in a very tangible way. He that believes in me, out of him shall flow, what? Rivers of living water. Do you want God's living water flowing through you today? I do. So the question becomes this, doesn't it? You saw what blocking. What the question becomes is, have I surrendered our hearts to the work of His Spirit? Are we connecting to the source each day through prayer, through Bible study, through fellowship? Are you connecting to Him? Is that your priority? Are you distracted? Are you distracted by work and all the other things that come along that pull our eyes off of Him? Are you allowing Him to dig out those stones of self that are in your heart and mind that get in the way? It's a painful process, isn't it? When you discover something there that the Lord is saying, no, this is getting in the way. You can't have it anymore. I've got something much better for you, right? Are we allowing Him to dig out those stones of self? I hope you'll join me in surrendering your heart to Him again today, renewing that commitment of saying, Lord, come in and fill me. Come in and dwell within me. Come in and send your Holy Spirit here so that I can be a place where you pour, through whom you pour out those rivers of living water. And all those gifts of the Spirit will become evident: love, peace, joy, gentleness, goodness, kindness, self-control, I know, is the last one, and all the special talents and skills He gives, and all the tangible blessings that He gives us of financial resources, time, food, all the good things that He gives us will begin to flow out of us completely, nothing held back. His living water, right? Flowing to everyone around us.